You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kylo Show. We're back here.
Back for more.
Uh-huh.
We keep coming back.
Every single week. Here we love you guys. That's how much we keep coming back. Which we have been talking about community, which is kind of fun. It's always fun to hear on the road how much the Kylo Show's been part of their life.
It's kind of crazy.
Different ways. It does feel like we have our own little community that we've been building this last year and a bit.
I know. We have like a
year and a half or so.
Congregation out there.
It's pretty wild. I was getting messages from Brazil, Colombia. Somebody submitted a question and we answered it and they messaged me and said thank you. And I was like, wow, that's so wild. I know that
it's
I usually can pick up the someone that speaks, you know, with an accent from Australia because of Ben or and you know, from England or the UK over there, but it's a global community.
Can you really tell those accents apart between England, South Africa, New Zealand, and Australia?
New Zealand gets me probably the most, but I would say I'm pretty good. Pretty good at distinguishing them. I remember being in line at Disneyland with Ben one time, and there was a Kiwi in front of us and an Australian behind us, and he goes, which is which? And we're in line for 45 minutes, so I've been listening to them talk back and forth. And I got it wrong. And he said, here, listen. And then he starts saying certain words. I'm like, oh, okay. I think I get the Kiwis and South Africans more.
Yeah.
But so anyways, but we love our international family.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, they all think that the South Africans are the most desirable accent.
I don't know.
Like, oh, yeah, I wish I had that one.
I did find my man from Snowy River, so I'm pretty content with that accent, though he doesn't sound like that as much anymore.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if we said, oh, I'd like to have the Boston accent or the Arkansas accent.
We do have a girl from New Jersey now with us.
That's true.
And she definitely...
Joyzy girl.
She's not quite as thick as that. But we've got a Texan, we've got a New Jersey, and the rest are all from California. So it's all right, though.
We have a girl from Shingle Spring.
Yes. I think that's still California, though. I don't think she's got a twang like she's from somewhere southern, but that's all right. All that is fun. But we...
Speaking of community.
We are just this growing little community.
We're all over the place.
Mm-hmm. It's true. So we've been talking about community, and we're going to keep talking about it. But today's really trying to...
Hit healthy, unhealthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hit this concept. And it's kind of reading through the notes, I feel like it's kind of a checklist of what you're looking for and what you're comparing. And
symptoms.
Yeah. And, and what things are showing up are... You know, maybe some indicators to be paying attention to. Because I think that you don't know what you don't know. And
communities, they just happen, right? They build a culture. They create their own rules. Generally, you know, strong personalities will kind of set the tone or set the pace or set the rules even. Mm-hmm. And if everybody didn't have some kind of skill set in that, then that force just pretty much shapes kind of like a family. Mm. You know, like when you have a really dominant anybody, it can be the youngest child, it can be the dad, it can be whoever. And that becomes the community culture, is a bunch of personalities that other people have not learned to confront. Or, you know, make assertive demands about how we will proceed from here based on that last problem we had. Here's what we're going to be doing in the future. So it really does take a concerted agreement to create a healthy environment, because... I think most of us are kind of selfish and kind of unaware, and we just start crashing around and call it town, you know, or work.
Sure.
Or family.
Well, the, you know, the crazy thing I think about community is it's similar to family, and that all the elements of having a dysfunctional or toxic or thriving, healthy are there. Like we're all people.
Mm-hmm.
So whether your family is dysfunctional and your community is healthy, I think the potential for things to come up, confrontations that's needed, conversations that, you know, or feedback, I think that's a big thing in healthy community is the ability to have that feedback and exchange, just like you'd hope to have in family. But sometimes our community feels more like family than our own family. And that's part of it's due to the rules of town, if you will, like mm-hmm. you said, you know, an agreement that we've made that we're going to protect this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to prioritize this. So I think that's the beauty of people is that they're everywhere and they're not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep gathering them and they're not perfect.
So today we're going to talk about some of the keys around healthy versus unhealthy.
Mm-hmm. One of the, in healthy community, it talks about leaders are humble, responsible, confrontable, and accountable.
Hmm.
And I remember hearing a question that we had come in not too long ago about a woman who was in a church community, and it sounded like it was pretty unhealthy and pretty scary. And her exchange was, I don't know what to do because I feel like this is scary and unhealthy. Mm. But it's church and they're leaders, so don't I have to listen and stay there?
Mm.
And that's the, I'm like, I think that's an interesting place to be able to look at is, wow, what are the leaders like in your community? What are the people that are in your closest community? Are they humble? Are they confrontable? Are you able to hold them? Are they being held accountable for actions? What's adjustment look like? What does feedback look like?
You know, one of the things that I keep coming back to is when you have a relationship with somebody. Mm-hmm. So it can be just, you know, a marriage or a friend or whatever. But the larger that group gets, the more this is pretty critical. And that is a person's strategy or habit of when you confront them, when you ask them, you know, to adjust, when you present a need or an experience that you're having with them, and they justify themselves.
Sure.
The second that starts happening,
mm-hmm.
somebody needs to throw a flag 15 yards, shoot a flare, you know, because self-justification basically means I'm going to do what I'm going to do because I'm righter than everyone else around me. And when you start introducing that into a community, you have just established powerlessness.
Mm.
And anxiety spins up and disconnection becomes a coping skill. Because people now have to protect themselves from somebody who is scary, damaging, controlling, punishing, and won't adjust, won't listen. So, you know, you start the self-justification machine going, mm-hmm. and you have somebody who essentially is a bowling ball through a chicken pen, you know, here we go. You're going to get your way and everyone else is going to adjust and there's going to be a mess again and again and it will never be your fault because look, you got yolk and feathers on you. Look what you did to me. Like, wait a second, bowling ball. You don't get to just
sure.
crash through here again and again and then blame it on the chicken pen. Like, what are you doing? So, you know, there really is a need for there to be confrontable spaces in relationships and a high willingness to make an adjustment when you get information about what somebody else needs, mm-hmm. what somebody else is experiencing. And self-justification gets shot in the head, and we drag that thing out, and we don't try to bring it back to life. No self-justification.
No. And your chicken coop and bowling ball. I don't know when there'd ever be a bowling ball in a chicken coop, but it's a great analogy. Yeah. Like, we have a chicken coop, and all I think about is, when would there ever be a bowling ball in there? But the wreckage and that would happen from just that being, I can see that. And I think that that's a hard play, because I think people want to feel like they can defend themselves. So how do you navigate the, you know, I'm getting feedback mm-hmm. that feels painful, because mm-hmm. sometimes the attempt to communicate doesn't go so well. And so it's poorly done, but you still need to adjust, mm-hmm. you know? So, you know, where do we practice that piece in there with, I guess if the history is over and over and over again, this is a repeated cycle, maybe it's different than a poor communication one time or
yeah.
delivery.
Well, I think it's the dedication to listen well. Mm-hmm. Like, did I hear you well? Because most of us are highly committed to being heard. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sure. Less committed to being a adjusting. Great listener. Yeah. You know, like, did I understand? Am I understanding what you're mm-hmm. trying to say? Do I see you? The person that grows to that spot, mm-hmm. that can get to, do I see you accurately? Can you adjust me in any way and how it is you want me to see you? Then that's mature love. You know, that's kind of like you're trying to work with your kid. You're trying to settle your kid down. You're trying to figure out, okay, what in the world does this child need? Mm-hmm. And how can I make this situation any better at all? And a wise parent does a whole lot of active listening and empathy and tries to get that child to see that eyes on you right now. Mm-hmm. How can we help you? And then, you know, I need this from you. But the step one is understand the person that's talking. And I think that it's just vital in all relationship success is that you listen better than the other person is talking.
Yeah. Well, that's good perspective as the... I guess if the pattern is repeating itself and someone's not able to listen. So that's a good thing to be looking for in health is willingness to listen mm-hmm. in that exchange. That's great.
And being a good listener means that I'm confrontable. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can talk to me and I'll say, oh, so you're experiencing me as arrogant. Ah. Mm. And so if I get defensive again and again, it feels like I'm not listening. Mm. Okay, I see that. Thank you for your feedback. Is there anything else? You know, you got to get some kind of rhythm in your listener that makes the door look open. Mm-hmm. Because if you say, okay, so you think that I'm a bad listener. Okay. And you think that I am a selfish friend. All right. Okay. Now all you're doing is you're just stuffing your arrows in this quiver because you're about to fire them back. You know,
waiting till they're done talking so you can talk.
Right. I'm not listening. Mm-hmm. I'm stacking up ammo. But if I say, okay, so when I say it like that, it hurts you. Oh gosh. Okay. I'm sorry. And when I interrupt you or I get a sarcastic tone going, that feels scary to you. Okay. All right. Got it. Okay. So that, because the other person's going, exactly. Yes. Totally. Like, okay, I'm doing a good job listening. If I got the other person going, bingo, boop, you know, their little nose turns red, yeah. you know, their ears spin, whatever. You know, I'm hitting the target over mm-hmm. there and they are feeling valued and listen to. Mm-hmm. And the anxiety's coming down. You can just see the anxiety coming down because they're like, okay, I don't have to protect myself from someone who cares about me. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that's pretty important in an agreement to mm-hmm. the culture of our communication.
That's great. Well, good. Mm. Look for that. Okay. So that's the goal. I think another thing that we've talked about as far as health is people dive deep into long-term connections, and they're looking for, you know, more of a covenant relationship. Mm-hmm. They're looking for, I'm kind of, you know, covenant relationships for me easiest translate to marriage and bringing a child into this world. Like, those are covenants that, you know, sure. And I think that covenant friendship should have that same level of willingness to wade through the difficult,
mm-hmm.
Whether difficulty in their relationships together or maybe someone's having a struggle, but I'm willing to walk with you, not do it for you, and not be sympathetic, but bring empathy. You know, I think there's a difference in, you know, that level of commitment of covenant. I think that's what you're looking for in community is depth and something that you're able to grow in together in mm-hmm. all different facets. Like I think of covenant looks like growth for me in a lot of ways and willingness to put in the hard work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the work of Kylo, you know, it's the work of keeping your love on even after you get hurt,
mm-hmm.
even after you feel chewed up and spit out. You're like,
you went through the rock tumbler.
Oh my gosh. You're like, okay, wow. This has been going on for a while. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes one of your kids goes sideways and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, how long is this going to last? 10 years. Mm. Oh gosh. 10 years of this with this kid. Well, I'm going to keep my love on because I have a covenant,
mm-hmm.
you know. I think the interesting thing is that people say things like, "Well, I have a covenant with that person and with that person, but not with that person and not with this person." And I think, you know what? I'm a covenant person, so I have some level of covenant with everybody. And, you know, that's where the boundaries come in. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you get the big...
you get the golden goose egg.
You get it all right here, honey. And then you are like, you know what? I buy a pack of gum from you at the corner store. And over time, I found out that you got three kids. And, you know, and before you know it, you know, I'm caring. And I'm serving, and I'm giving, and I'm loyal, and I have all these, because it's who I am. Mm-hmm. I take me everywhere I go, so I don't ever turn it off. I don't ever turn it off towards someone. Even a scary person, I don't turn it off. I just behave differently, but I don't turn it off. So if you got hit by a car, you know, maybe we're not connected and maybe you were mean to me or something, but I am helping you. You know, I am a caring person. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think covenant is a characteristic more than it is a decision.
Mm.
And it isn't something I turn on and off. It's just on, but kind of like sunshine, you know, really close, it's boiling hot. Way out there, you might get a tan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the circles that, you know, the boundary circles are
mm-hmm.
are really, I guess, the levels of covenant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the levels of influence, the levels of access.
And for people that don't know that, in the Life Academy, you know, there's something called Relationship 101, mm-hmm. and in there we talk about boundaries, and that's...
And in the Keep Your Love On book, which is what Kylo stands for,
yes.
It's in there too.
All that stuff.
That's the OG.
For those who are new to the show.
Yep. That's great. I think, you know, those are all really beautiful things that we're looking for. Longing for connection and depth in relationship. Another one that feels really important to me with healthy in communities is high levels of peace, love, and joy, which we've been talking a lot about enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember we were somewhere and we left after spending a couple of days with these people and you were there with mom and you said, we didn't laugh very much. And I never thought about that. And I'm like, huh, That's interesting. This is, and it is a different relationship, you know, than we're meeting people and whatnot. But I just thought that is an interesting viewpoint, because I think in our community that we have rallied around and have created laughter and joy, along with peace and love, are very valuable to our culture. And so this idea of enjoyment of your people is really important.
It's super, it's a bonding experience, you know. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And there's so much that, that's added to relationship strength when we really enjoy each other. And love casts out fear. So anxiety really chokes down the joy. You know, the thing that's killing marriages or family dynamics is severe limits of joy and high levels of anxiety.
So hopefully you're laughing with your people. We have to speed this up because we're going to run out. We're only halfway through. Another element of health is authenticity, and healthy vulnerability is cultivated. You know, which I think we've talked a little bit about the exchange of feedback and being able to clean up a mess earlier on. And I think that's just another element of where you get to show up and be yourself. And, you know, you get to be vulnerable, and that's...
You're seen.
You're seen, and that exchange is goes well. And so no need to perform.
It's kind of the evidence of a safe place is you can be seen. Because unsafe place is you're dodging and hiding behind every bush and, you know, speaking from the cave.
You know.
Throwing, writing notes on rocks and rolling it out of the cave. You know, it's just the difference, I think, between safe and unsafe. And if we can learn to be vulnerable and protect a vulnerable place, I think relationships are going to rock.
Yeah. That vulnerability piece is, I know in parenting dynamics, a lot of times parents get stuck on, I can't be that vulnerable with my kid. You know, I got to be strong. I got to be the stoic one. I can't show weakness. Like, oh, vulnerability is such a place where we create intimacy in our relationships.
It'd be a good time to take off your Kevlar vest. Because if you're bulletproof, then your kids will learn to communicate with bullets. And if you're actually a tender-hearted person, they will learn how to take care of a tender heart.
Just that's the goal. So that healthy vulnerability is beautiful. All right. Another one is being able to communicate assertively. When you have to have a conflict with someone and go to them directly. So just knowing what assertive means doesn't mean obnoxious, doesn't mean aggressive. You know, assertive is a powerful person, which we'll talk about later.
You matter, and so do I.
All of that.
Yeah. And so it's a mutual respect in no matter how much we disagree or even how bad that hurt. You matter, and so do I.
Yeah. And being able to go to that person directly to have that conversation. And there, again, we've talked a lot kind of around the idea of conflict and how to navigate that a bit, but this is another piece of your ability to have both have high value for having this exchange and staying assertive, which is great. Healthy people are hungry to grow, improve in excellence, encouragement, and celebration. That's another element we're looking for in healthy community is where do we need to develop ourselves? And everybody's different. I've noticed this in community, and everyone has seasons of different stages of development. And sometimes it's fun when you can do it all together, you know?
And, you know, when you're when you're protecting an unhealthy dynamic, you ridicule people who try to grow up, who try to change, who try to improve the relationship. You, in your insecurity, you ridicule them.
I think... the tall poppy syndrome is what comes to mind is, you know, someone that's excelling, someone that has put in work and effort, and there is really a natural reward to the efforts. everyone else feels it is unfair, or they're frustrated, and so this culture to bring down to we're all the same. No one gets to be excellent and celebrated.
Yeah, I'm somehow threatened by your growth,
your drive, and all of that. So making sure that you feel celebrated and encouraged in your community, and really healthy, has as a part of growth, diverse viewpoints, being able to have hard conversations, telling the truth. We talk a lot about truthing each other going on lately in our environment. And really just, I think, being willing to have a disagreement, but that doesn't cause disconnect or distance.
Yeah, I think the willingness to let people be themselves around each other is a really healthy place, and the demand that everyone conforms to the dominant traits or conversation or whatever characteristics, that's pretty unhealthy. That is brainwashing, you know. That is intimidation. A healthy community has lots of colors. It has lots of personalities. It has lots of quirks, little, you know, that's interesting. Kind of like a really happy family.
Yeah.
Like everybody gets to be themselves and be valued in that. As long as they're not destructive.
Right. And for me, it's I would say, as in marriage for Ben and I, navigating and figuring out, how do I have value for your differences? Some of my most favorite moments in community is when we're faced with some difficulty or a challenge, and watching everyone bring their own strength in a different way to find a solution and to be successful. You know, I know the LOP team, that shows up whenever we do events, and we've got very different people, very different perspectives, and we all have gotten good at knowing our lanes. And I love when someone's able to say, okay, I'm stuck here, but this is your lane and I need help. And so again, that value for different viewpoint, different perspective, maybe different way of doing it. And then just seeing the health of rallying around. And we're pretty good at celebrating each other here, which is fun. And I think that's what's made our culture working with Love and Purpose turned into a family. So it's kind of fun.
Cool.
But those are our little aspects of community. And really, I think the goal here is trying to help you find challenge within that, you know, like kind of review, are these things showing up? Am I paying attention to these areas? Is that something that I need in my life? And, you know, do I even know how to fight for that? And I think one of the great things that we've been working on here is creating opportunities where we get to challenge you, which we've got a new challenge coming out. We had a challenge with Dr. Margaret Nagib. That was super fun. That went really well. That was a little while ago. But this is our newest one. It's called the KyloChallenge.com is where you can find out more information. But we're bringing you different levels of challenge and around, you know, the things we're talking about, which is community, and trying to help you be successful and paying attention to those things. So if you're interested in joining this new challenge that we've got coming up, you can go to thekylochallenge.com to find out more information there. And we'll be talking about it a little bit as we keep going here, but it should be a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see really a success, because the Overcome Your Overwhelms challenge was so much fun. And it was really powerful for a lot of people. So I think this challenge will be another one of those. So you won't want to miss it.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, we're going to go into questions, and we'll see you guys soon. All right. Well, we're going to jump into some questions that we have. And we have two that were sent in by Zachary, which... Zachary, we love your questions. They're great. However, Zachary's recording of the audio was a little rough. So I'm just going to go ahead and read them, because they transcribed them for us. So Just imagine my voice is yours, Zachary, and I'm asking your questions. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do any funny voices.
No.
You would, but I'm not. I don't think I'm quite that skilled. All right. Zachary's first question is, how would you deal with the spouse who is putting pressure on you to have a baby when you aren't ready? How do you navigate that? So I'm guessing he wants to expand a family, but just not feeling ready for it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I can remember this season a little bit of wanting to have a baby, and Ben wasn't quite ready to have a baby, but I was really ready to have a baby. And, you know, I don't know that it led to a place of tension, but I think I would be trying to figure out asking some good questions.
You know, I would wonder if this conversation has led to a disconnect.
Mm.
And then the continuance of it,
sure,
is, you know, less than beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
So I would think that they're going to have to make sure that they're connected when they have this conversation. Mm-hmm. So they listen to each other. They are respectful and doing a good job communicating about them and not turning it into, I feel bad, so something must be wrong with you.
Mm.
You know, and just be able to look at each other and honor, you know, two powerful people having a conversation, mm-hmm, about what each other needs to feel. And that's most likely what, you know, where the lack or the problem is we need to feel different things.
Yeah.
And we need to find, is there a way to meet those needs that feels cooperative in this? Mm-hmm. You know, can we make a plan?
Can we...
But, you know, it can't be, I will be dishonest about a commitment just to relax the tension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, then, kind of like getting married. There's kind of a working up to it thing, you know, for some one or the other one. Like, mm-hmm, oh, yeah, getting married sounds like a big deal. And well, it is a big deal.
Yeah.
And do you want to? I don't know. Okay, well, we'll revisit this.
I definitely think there's two different needs going on,
mm-hmm,
you know, and if you don't feel like your needs are very important, then there's probably a pretty big disconnect with each other. And
they may not be that big a difference,
mm-hmm,
but the disconnect makes it feel like a power struggle.
Yeah.
It's just a power struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember, you know, we had one baby and we had talked about having another baby, but, you know, it's, if your first child was, the labor was hard, if the delivery was hard, if it doesn't sleep, and so everything that you know about a baby is what you've had, and it was exhausting, overwhelming, stressful, the idea of having another one probably can be pretty overwhelming. And I don't know that I'm ready to bring that in. So, again, I think being willing to, I'm afraid that we're going to do this again, and I don't know that I have the emotional capacity to serve you and two children. You know, I don't know if you're able to have that vulnerable exchange of what maybe the core fear is or the need or pain. I think that's clarity. When I think about Ben and I, understanding what's really going on helps me have more grace to, okay, you're giving me hope, which I'm guessing she wants some hope. She wants to have a family with you. She doesn't know why you don't want that. I don't know, because Zachary, you're not here to ask more questions, but mm-hmm, that could be part of that dynamic. So if you're able to reconnect, first step. I love your example of the level of conversation you're trying to bring should match the level of connection that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably really great feedback for you. Work on reconnecting and then maybe see what level you're at to what level you can revisit this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, Ben often reminds couples that we meet with that are in big painful disconnect. And sometimes it's not as big as I think it is, but it feels ginormous, is remembering that they're for you, this person that you said yes to, that most likely the truth is that they're for you mm-hmm. and they love you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get back to that truth,
mm-hmm.
it usually helps lower the anxiety a little bit.
Yeah. And we're opposites attract.
Usually.
I've heard it often referred to as the gas pedal marries the brake pedal. And, we're trying not to burn the car up.
Sure.
The harder the gas, the harder the brake.
Mm-hmm.
The harder the brake, the harder the gas. So you want to, try to get out of that dynamic by mm-hmm. doing a good job of listening.
Mm-hmm.
And not listening for what you want to hear, but listening to what the other person actually is saying and needs.
Yeah.
And then be willing to convey that you understand and that you're hearing, and then swap roles mm-hmm. and get a chance to do the same thing. But
yeah.
the whole time, connection is the goal.
Yeah, it's true. It's great. All right, the other question that we have is about parenting. So it says, my 3-year-old daughter often wants her mom to help with the minimal tasks and won't let me, dad, help, like putting her in the car seat or putting her to bed. I feel like my wife is having to do more just because my daughter throws a fit. What are some things that I can do to help?
I'm guessing here that the mom feels like she's rescuing the family by intervening and calming the child down in all these scenarios?
I think that it's the little girl sounds like she wants mom to do all the things.
Yeah.
So mommy gets me water. Mommy does my shoes.
Yeah.
And so dad doesn't have a role and mom keeps doing it.
Uh-huh.
So mom's probably exhausted and dad doesn't know how to help because if he jumps in to do it, sounds like daughter throws a fit.
Mm-hmm. And, as long as that fit works,
uh-huh.
that fit's coming.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So we need because part of it is, breaks mom's heart to see the child so upset. Mom feels like she could do something to circumvent that. Dad feels bad, when the kid's this upset just because he wants to help.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels dumb to make it all about what he needs and da-da-da, back and forth, and figure it out. But just figure it out, because what this turns into long-term
yeah.
is I get to extract dad and work mom
mm-hmm.
over what color Cadillac they bought me. that's where this heads, right?
Yeah.
It turns into a massive manipulation tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how many times I see or hear or meet with parents or watch it happen of the training process
mm-hmm.
that this child is putting the parents through.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to sit and watch and go, wow, you have no idea what road you're taking.
Mm.
And that's the part that, she's 3. So it's easier to just avoid the fit by having mom do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to just avoid this by mom do it or whatever. But it's going to be exhausting. And ultimately what I see ends up happening is, there becomes this a few different dynamics. I think mom and daughter create a world where dad doesn't exist in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or mom is so exhausted that she no longer likes her kid.
Yeah, or she's being parented
by
a child.
And so there's multiple, it doesn't end well.
No.
So the best solution really is to get in there and be like, I know you want mommy. Maybe mommy can help you next time. Do you want to walk to your bed or do you want daddy to carry you to your bed? I acknowledge that's what you want. And
mm-hmm.
it's not like mom's disappearing forever. This is the option mm-hmm. tonight. And not being afraid of, you're giving 2 choices and you're following through with those 2 choices.
Mm-hmm.
This is really quickly, or I see that third option comes in and we just keep going back to that. Okay, fine, mom will do it. Okay, fine, mom will do it. And I mean, in this dynamic that we don't actually enjoy.
Yeah, and mom and dad have to be united on this. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be a tag you're in, mm-hmm. and maybe mom's going for a walk. You know,
yeah, that's what I was thinking,
or whatever,
going somewhere else.
Yeah, because daughter has to learn that there are two parents that love each other and are going to protect each other primarily. You are secondary. Mm-hmm. You know, this marriage, our partnership, our relationship is primary. Our relationship with you is secondary. Mm-hmm. That's hard to hear, I know. Some parents right now just threw up a little bit in the back of their mouth.
But it's... You can live that life if you want. It's not fun.
But, you know, these children are leaving one day.
Yeah.
And you're going to be... There you are. Oh, no. Here we are. We should have worked on this way back when they were little. Right. That's what I'm trying to give you a heads up about is you have a primary relationship called a marriage. Mm-hmm. And that has to take priority and be treated as a priority around your children. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, depending on how aggressive your child is, they will work the cracks. Mm-hmm. And you'll be left... When they leave, you'll be left with what you let happen, mm-hmm. which is a divided up marriage that centered around the wrong priority.
Yeah.
And that's tough to hear.
And I mean, doing family coaching with Ben and I and different marriage stuff that we've done, there's a lot of empty nesters that end up in our office because they're not happy.
Yeah,
with their marriage, and there's no
they're
distraction.
Not distracted.
There's no distraction of the child, and now I have to look at you and go, why? Why do I choose you? Mm-hmm. Because I haven't been choosing you for the last 18 years. I've been choosing something else, mm-hmm. and that's the hard. I mean, it doesn't seem like that's how this leads, but it is. This is, and then you have typically a really selfish kid that rules your house. That's chaos, and mm-hmm. it's not very much fun. Mm-hmm. So don't be afraid to get in there, Zachary. We believe in you. Jump in there.
You got this, dude.
You do. Your daughter needs her daddy. Mm-hmm. She's going to need her daddy. I can speak from experience. She needs her daddy to lead her in so many areas mm-hmm. that mom's not going to be able to do. And you're going to have to be willing to make her angry. Because she's probably going to get angry, and you're going to have to be able to ride that storm. Because when she's 13, it's a different storm, and she needed you to fight for her back at 3. So, great questions. I love it. We're going to go ahead and jump into our testimony.
Okay.
All right. Well, our testimony comes to us from Lena.
Hi. So I didn't know how Keeping Your Love On book would help me. But after probably about a year and a half after reading the book, the principles really helped me with the situation of transitioning church ministries. A church that I had been attending for 15 years and had really high expectations of seeing transforming revival happen, and was kind of, all of that shifted when that ministry decided to close its doors and sell its building. In the meantime, I had been making other community connections with a different ministry that had a supernatural school that I was attending, and that's where I was introduced to the Kylo book, and I had read that. So in that transition, I thought it would be really easy to move into the new community that I had already started connecting to. But I quickly realized that I had to choose to release the former ministry, the church leadership, and myself from previous expectations. Holy Spirit helped me understand that who I thought I was at the previous ministry wasn't the same person that I was going to be at the current ministry community that I was being connected to. The best way that I can explain it would be trying to relate to immediate family like I was an extended family member. How silly would it be to act like a niece when I was actually a daughter of the house? So I had to shift my heart to step into a community of family instead of just a community of, you know, church membership or church fellowship. So I realized that I had to choose to let go of the past and forgive not only myself for having expectations that weren't realized, but also the disappointment and fear that went along with transition. Right now I'm able to be my more true self in the family that I'm planted in ministry-wise than I would have been if things had been different. I also had to give my heart time to grieve the loss of that previous church home, and the family that I'm engrafted in now understood and supported that process. So thank you for your ministry, and thank you for writing the book.
Well, that's a journey right there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pitfalls in there that she navigated pretty well. And it does take time, but kudos to her for recognizing so many of the adjustments that were going to have to be made before they ruined two places.
Yeah.
You know, and she experienced, she experienced some loss from feeling a lot of hope and a lot of purpose in the first environment. And then what happens is when people don't let go of that, they don't heal and or grow, that experience rules the next one. Mm-hmm. And you come in much lower with your hope and vulnerability and ability to make covenant. It's kind of like, you know, marriages when they, you know, a second marriage, then a third marriage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your first marriage is la, 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 you know, everything's going to be a house on a hill, the white picket fence and a dog and two kids and la, 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 la. And then your third marriage is, okay, you got a checkbook. I got a checkbook. We have sex on Wednesday. Okay, ready, break. Yeah. You're like, wow, what happened? Oh, well, so much stuff happened mm-hmm. to lose what I could give. I mm-hmm. gave it away. I never got it back.
Yeah.
So
that was a great testimony. Again, she fought hard. So mm-hmm. I think that's, you know, the theme that we've been talking about is community and, mm-hmm. and fighting for that and all the disappointments that come and adjustments that are needed. So I think that's a beautiful example of the willingness to stay in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's our hope for you, especially when we're talking about community, is that you are searching and identifying what healthy community looks like and really just practicing the Kylo 5 as you are on this search. Mm-hmm. So thanks so much for joining us at the Kylo Show, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of the Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.